Today, we're going to be looking at being faithful through trials and tests and hardship. I said to him during the break, I said, hey man, how did we link that up? Because he was talking about tests and how we need people around us, and that's sort of similar to where I'm going to sort of go down. So it's great how God does that. And so we'll be looking at that. So being faithful through trials, tests, and hardship. Amen. So what is a trial? What is a test? I looked at the greatest thing, probably greatest invention of our time, Google, and I googled test and how to define it, because I was sort of thinking, how do I actually like define a test? It's something, but I don't know how to define it. Anyway, Google said to me, it's a procedure to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something. Right. So the procedure to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something. And university students have it almost after every 12 weeks, right? We exams around the corner for a lot of the university students, the campus ministry, and it becomes a very stressful time. Studying, cramming, trying to finish those assignments, and trying to balance ministry and work and do all these things. It's a tough time, and on top of that, they have examinations, and that's... they're pretty hard. Everyone who's done a test understands that. No one really wants to do a test, right? I mean, if you do, man, that's great. I wish I could have that attitude. But that thing, right? I mean, so the trials and tests that we go through in life, there are many, right? Obviously, we have academic, we have workplace, we have other things as well. But even more so as disciples and as Christians, as people trying to follow Jesus, man, we're exposed to many trials, many tests, many hardship. And that thing that we're trying to establish the quality and performance and reliability of is faith. Faith. And as I said earlier, as humans, we don't want to go through tests. We don't want to go through trials. That's not our natural tendency. But as Christians, again, we know that there's going to be many trials and many tests. And God's word, which is contrary to our nature, right? I mean, God's way, sometimes we don't like to naturally go that way. God continually notions us in the word that we need to be willing to embrace trial. Yeah. Willing to embrace hardship. Willing to embrace tests. Right? Why? Because it strengthens our faith. Yep. Right? And faith is very, very important as a disciple, obviously. And the way I like to think about it is like, trials and tests and all that are like dumbbells to our faith. Okay? So dumbbells, if anyone goes to the gym, no show of hands. But if it, you know, Mickey. I know Mick goes to the gym. But when you're at the gym, right, dumbbells sort of, you know, it's going the other way. You're trying to lift it, and you know, it goes the other way from what you want to do, which is lift it. But it's hard and it hurts, but it strengthens your muscles, hopefully, right? But with our faith, the weights or the dumbbells to strengthening our faith are these trials and these tests and all these things, right? It goes the other way because we don't like it, but it strengthens our faith, right? And so let's take a look at the attitude that we need to have from the Bible. So turn over to James chapter 1 with me, please. Great scripture, probably heard it before, but awesome passage. James chapter 1, in verse 2, we'll pick it up. James says, he's writing to Christians, and he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Again, maybe you've heard this one, but I mean, it just boggles my mind when James says here to consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Right. I mean, think about the things in your life that give you joy. Right, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's going, I don't know, going on vacation, hanging out with family, eating a nice dish. I don't know, whatever it is for me. I mentioned the last time it's me scoring a goal in soccer in our futsal team, our church futsal team. It's a great feeling. But those things give me pure joy, and those things that you feel that give you pure joy, God wants you to have the same exact attitude when you face trials. Right? Again, it's completely contrary to our nature. But why does he want us to be joyful? Because it tests our faith, which results in perseverance, which results in being mature and complete spiritually.
Right.
And hopefully that's why we're all here, because you want to get there, right? To try and be mature and complete spiritually. But that is not going to happen without trials, right? Without tests, without hardship. That will not happen. Right, and so how do we test that faith? How do we grow to be mature and complete? Right, in the middle of that passage there, it says, right, you got to test your faith. Right, you have to be able to test your faith in verse 3. And so the question is, how is our faith when it comes to facing trials and hardship? How does your faith go? Do you deal with it in a way that actually helps you to strengthen your faith? Or do you go and shy the other way? So let's get into the main text. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to have a look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is, if you're not familiar with it, this is towards the end of Matthew and Jesus' life. He's about to go to the cross. So about an hour or so, 2 hours, 3 hours later, from what we're going to read here, he's going to go to the cross and die for our sin. So in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56, sorry, 36, I'll read this out. So it says there in Matthew 26, 36, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes our betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Jesus replied, 'Do what you came for, friend.' Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for the sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. 'Put the sword back into its place,' Jesus said to him, 'for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, 'Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled.' And all the disciples deserted him and fled." All right. And so this is probably, when we talk trials and temptations and hardship, this is probably the epitome of it. This is very, very intense. So we'll take a look at a couple of things from the text to see how Jesus stayed faithful through trials. Amen. So the first point is staying glued to God. Okay, staying glued to God. Okay, if you're not familiar with glue's the sticky thing that you just go down to Kids Kingdom. You can see a lot of glue sticks and stuff. Anyway, it's the stuff you use to stick something onto something and it sticks there. Just so to make that clear. dictionary, I need Google. But again, this situation is the epitome of trial, epitome of hardship, right? Very difficult, and I don't know if you can even remotely imagine what Jesus was going through. Okay, I mean, knowing how you were going to die, when you were going to die, knowing that you were going to be betrayed by someone who has been with you for 3 years, right? And the biggest one probably is going to the cross and then being separated from God for the first time, right? Because of sin. And it's a very, very intense time. And the first thing that Jesus wants to do is pray. There in verse 36, right? He says, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he just wants to spend time with God and just be with God through this hard time. He does it three times in the passage, verse 39, verse 42, and verse 44, throughout this hard time. And it's funny because I think a lot of people actually understand this concept, an idea of going to God in hard times.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's, I think it's something that even people, not even who go to church, sort of understand it. And I was evangelizing, I think it was last year, and reaching out to people and talked to this one guy, just invited him to church and asked him how it was with his faith. And he said, "Yeah, I'm sort of religious, not really. I'm sometimes on, I'm sometimes off." And I'm like, "What does that mean?" And he goes, "You know, just here and there." I'm like, "Okay." And I said, "So what are you currently?" And he goes, "Oh man, it's exam time. I'm religious." Right? I cracked up. But I mean, you know, he even that shows that he sort of, through stress and through anxiety and through hard times, he wanted to just be, I guess he was praying, you know, and praying and trying to be with God. But even more so as Christians, as God, as men and women trying to follow the truth, man, we need to be going to God constantly.
Yeah.
We need to be glued to God constantly. Right? I mean, Jesus went three times, okay? He's about to face death. Jesus went three times. When we're going through hardship, how many times do we need to go to Jesus? How many times do we need to go to God? Right? And another important thing to note about Jesus and how he was glued to God, he wasn't just glued to God this one time. Right? Not just this hard time do we see, oh man, God, Jesus goes to God and continues to pray and pray. But he was like that all the time, right? Flip over like a couple of pages to Mark chapter 1. Okay, so this is in verse 35. This is another account about Jesus' life, and this is early in his ministry. And it says in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Right. And we see this throughout the Gospels, throughout Jesus' life. Man, beginning, middle, and end. Jesus was close to God all the time. Right? He was always close to God. Because what is, and the question is, I guess, what does being close to God and being glued to God do for us? And I believe for me, and I've experienced this personally, is that it just gives me peace. It just gives me peace that even though things around me are going crazy and I just feel like I can't do it and life gets hard, you know, man, when I'm close to God, man, I feel at peace. I feel at peace. And maybe you've experienced this as well, right? Through hardship or whatever it is, being close to God gives you peace. And you know, in the text in Matthew 26, you see that. Jesus goes away, and each time he comes back, it's like he's more resolute every single time. It's like, you know, he's ready to go. He's ready to go and face the cross. And that's exactly the heart that we need to have too.
Come on.
Right? Through hard times, man, we need to be willing to run straight to God.
Yeah, come on.
In difficult times, running straight to God, running nowhere else. But the thing is, as humans, naturally, we tend to go to other things.
Yeah.
Other things besides God when we're going through hard times.
Yeah,
you know, for me, it's things like, you know, when I'm going through hard times, I just want to get people's approval. Know that I'm doing a good job. You know, get people to say, "Oh, well done, Aaron." And I don't know, it's just reputation. It's this thing that, you know, I want people to say, "Hey, well done, Aaron, good job." And that helps me to somehow get through my hard times because I feel accepted. Right? And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's the same as me. Maybe it's popularity, maybe it's reputation, maybe it's money. You know, maybe it's something that money makes you feel secure, and when you're going through hard times, you just think money can get you out of the situation. But you know what? I want to plead with you. See the futility in those things. There's nothing everlasting about them. They're just things that come and can go. Things that are just simply there and then will disappear. And I heard this quote once, that you should never put your hope or trust in anything that will be gone at the end. And God, He's there till the end. He's there all the way till the end. He's there from the beginning, and He's there to the end. And that should be the clear indication for us to men, when we're going through hard times, when we're struggling, when we find things difficult, go to God straight away.
Amen.
Stay glued to God always. No matter what it is.
Amen.
Another thing is, when you're close to God in good times, that's going to help you be close to God in hard times. Right. If you're not close to God in good times, man, you're not going to go to God in hard times. Right. So try to stay glued to God as Jesus did always. Amen.
Yeah.
Second point, and something we see here, second point, the title of the second point is Keep Watch With Me. Alright, Keep Watch With Me. And so you go back to Matthew 26, if you're not there already. Well, another thing we see Jesus do, when he says, look, I'm going to sit here, he says to the other 12 disciples, other disciples, sit here while I go and pray. And then what does he do from those disciples? He takes a couple of them with him. Right, he says, alright, you guys stay here. Alright, Peter, James, John, you guys come with me. Right, so he takes a couple of people with him. Now, who are these guys? Right, you know, in Matthew 4, don't flip there, it's fine. You learn that these guys are the very first disciples that Jesus calls. Matthew 4:18. They're the first disciples Jesus calls. And then later on in Matthew, you see him bring these three guys up to see the transfiguration. Okay, to see an amazing sign. And you can see that these guys have been with Jesus from the very, very start. From the start of his ministry, Jesus calls them and they're coming with him and they're going everywhere. They see great things that Jesus does. They get rebuked sometimes, but they stay with him. You know, they're always with Jesus. We can learn that. I mean, Jesus just wanted these guys to be close to him, even throughout this tough time. Okay? Like, I mean, look at the interaction. It's actually quite funny, right? I mean, he says to them in verse 39, look, guys, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Okay? That's a pretty intense thing to say. I don't know if any of your friends have ever said that to you. You know, maybe they have. And it's a tough thing to even hear, right? I mean, if I heard that from my friend, I'd be like, oh my goodness, well, what do I do? You know? And these guys, being great friends that they are, what do they do? Fall asleep.
That's right.
Now, I mean, it's understandable. They just had the Passover, you know, festival. They probably ate a lot. There's a lot of food there. You know, I'm Filipino. When I go to Filipino party and I eat my food, I just get so full that all I want to do is sleep. You know. And so you can imagine how these guys are feeling. On top of that, they had wine as well. So that makes them a bit sleepy. Probably can empathize with them in that regard. But regardless of the fact that they fell asleep on him, he still wanted them with him, like close to him. Right? In the Luke account, in 22 verse 39, it says, Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw away. Okay? A stone's throw. Now, I don't know how far you could throw a stone. I don't know, yeah, maybe I have competition. But it's still within distance. Right? It's not like, oh man, they've gone all the way to the other side of wherever. Right? It's still there. It's very close. And what we can learn from this is that Peter, James, and John meant so much to Jesus that even though they did nothing, he still wanted them close. Right? He still wanted them close just to be with him throughout this tough time. And he just wanted their companionship, their friendship, and just them to be there. And again, we need those people in our lives. The question is, do you have those people in your life? People who you can gladly say, brother, sister, keep watch with me. Keep watch with me with what I'm doing. Going through hard times, man, keep watch with me. Going through good times, keep watch with me. Do you have those people in your life? And the next question is when you're going through hard times and you're going through difficult times, do you go to them?
Yeah, come on.
Okay? Because as humans, what do we naturally tend to do? We try to isolate ourselves. When we're going through hard times and difficult times, I know for me, I like to just sort of back away from everyone. I don't really want to talk to anyone. Don't ask me how I'm doing. Don't do any of that. I just want to go away.
Yeah.
Right? Because I want to try and deal with it myself.
Yeah.
Right, but the thing is with that, man, I just think we need in those times is the time that we need people the most.
Yeah.
That's the time. Man, that's when we're struggling, when we're going through difficult times, that is the time we need those people, those keep watch with me people around us. The question is, do you do that? Do you have those people in your life, and do you go to them? Right? Throughout Scripture, you see constantly men and women who have great influence on Christianity, they are never doing things by themselves. Right? I mean, I think about it. I mean, you got David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha, Ruth and Naomi, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Jesus and the disciples. You could go on and on. But what you see is the fact that, man, even these great men and women of faith, they needed people around them. They needed people around them. And we need those people around us too. Do you have those people? Because those people are the ones who are going to help us get through those difficult and trials that we have. All right? And again, we can't be people who decide to isolate ourselves. And again, I've done this, and I come to church, but I'm really not, you know, I'm just not there really. I come to midweek, not really there. Go to Devo, not really there. Right? We can't isolate ourselves. Right? Even when you're in church, you got to be at church. Right? Body, soul, you got to be there. Right? And we can't isolate ourselves because Satan, I believe he does this, he tries to make you think that you can deal with your problems by yourself. That you can do it by yourself. And he's like, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. Right? But the thing is, it's a lie. These men and women of faith, they needed people in their lives. Right? And they went through good times together, but man, they went through hard times together. Paul going to jail, you know, getting beaten. There's that chapter in 1 Corinthians, I believe, where he said all the things that he's gone through. Right? The people were there with him as well. But we cannot be people who decide to isolate ourselves from others when we're going through tough times. Because those people will help us get through faithfully. Amen. And finally, third point, a bit shorter, is submission to the vision. Okay, submission to the vision. Right, we'll focus on that verse 47 onwards part. And right, you see, after Jesus goes to his friend, goes to God and is with his friends, we sort of see this process of him submitting to the will of God, right? Of him having to go to the cross, right? After the first time he goes, you know, second time he goes, third time he goes, and he comes back and he, you see, as I said earlier, he's more resolute. He's like, look, rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer, right? And then Judas comes to betray him, and then, you know, imagine having one of your close friends betray. It's a big deal. And it's another intense situation, and then one of Jesus' companions pulls out a sword and cuts off one of the ears of the high servant, the servant of the high priest. Right? I mean, again, I mean, 12 people versus this whole entire group of people have just come. Probably not a smart thing to do. Anyway, Jesus rebukes him, and then he says something phenomenal in verse 53 to 54, right? He says, do you not think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Right? So Jesus, at that point, he could have done anything. He could have done 12 legions of angels, could have done more, you know, could have done whatever he wanted. But he realized that it had to happen this way. Now, imagine if Jesus did not submit to the will of God at that point. Salvation, lost. What we're doing here, lost. Right? But Jesus, no, he submitted because he knew there was a greater purpose that he had to go to and face. Right? And again, you know, we need to have that same attitude of submission to God's will. Especially in hard times. But because it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes. But and as humans, we don't like to submit. You know, we don't like to submit to others. And I struggle to submit to others. And let alone submit to God's will, especially when I'm not sure what it is. Right? In uncertainty, it's not clear, I don't want to submit because I'm like, what am I doing? What's going to happen? And so I tend to try and do it my own way. As I said earlier, I try to go about it my own way. But what is the will of God? You know, ultimately, sometimes obviously it is to strengthen our faith, and specifically, I don't know. But let's go to Hebrews 12 and let's have a look at the point of these hardships and trials and things that we go to. Almost there. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 7, the Hebrew writer here is talking about how God disciplines his children, those he loves. And then in verse 7 to 8, it reads, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Right? But here it says, the Hebrew writer says, look, hardship, you got to see that as God disciplining you. Okay? And as a good parent disciplines their children. Amen? And that's what God does. And ultimately, why? It serves a greater purpose. James 1. Right? James 1, what the passage that we looked at, what is it to do? It's to strengthen your faith. Yeah. To bring you to maturity and completeness. That's the purpose. That's the will of God. When you face hardships and trials, it looks like, man, it's all over, Red Rover. Right? That's what it looks like. But no. God has a greater plan. God's using that to strengthen your faith. God's using that to discipline you, but ultimately to strengthen your faith so that you will be lacking in nothing. All right, and you know, just wrapping it up, we all face trials. It's something that is inevitable. Right? No matter what, you will face trials, obviously, in life, other things, but as Christians, it's bound to happen. You know? We will get persecuted. We will go through tough times. And I don't know, maybe you're going through one at the moment. Maybe you're going through a rough patch in your faith and you're like, man, I don't know. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. This tunnel feels like a city loop and it just doesn't end. You know, but the thing is, it can feel like that, but guess what, man? You know, those things, they're going to strengthen your faith. And I want you to think about the three things that we sort of talked about today. Staying close to God. Yeah. Staying close to God always, now and always, because that's going to help you get through. Being close to God, being at peace, having other people around you, having those people that you can say, keep watch with me.
Yeah.
Those people sitting in this room, right? Those people, those guys are going to help you as well get through faithfully, right? And know that in the end there is a greater purpose to your suffering. And you can't be a Christian without suffering, because it's going to strengthen our faith. That is the purpose of it. Right? And our job, you know, is not to say, I don't want trials. Our job is to say, I want trials, and give it to me straight. I want this because I know, like the gym, it's going to help strengthen my faith. Right? It's going to help strengthen my faith so I can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I want to encourage you, have that mindset, have that heart, tackle these trials and hardships head on, because ultimately, man, your faith is going to be strengthened and you will be a greater tool for God in his kingdom. Amen. Thanks so much for listening.